All right, welcome everyone. We're diving into split screen teaching today, something I know a lot of you have been curious about.
Yeah, it's been getting a lot of buzz lately.
Exactly.
Well, at its core, split screen teaching is about creating different learning experiences within the same classroom at the same time, based on what students need.
Okay, so not like every kid gets the same lesson, same pace, all that.
Right, exactly. It's not one size fits all. Teachers use assessments like quick checks or exit tickets to figure out where students are at.
Okay, so you're using that data to create what, like different groups within the class?
Yeah, flexible groups. So it's not about labeling kids gifted or struggling or anything like that.
Right, so it's not fixed ability groups.
Exactly. It's temporary, based on what kids need for that specific lesson or skill.
Gotcha. So just to be sure I'm getting this, this isn't just a fancy new name for differentiated instruction, is it?
It's definitely connected. Split screen is a way to make differentiated instruction actually happen, I'd say. Provides a framework for teachers to organize all the moving parts.
Okay, so the split screen idea is that, like, literally how the teacher's attention is divided. Part on one group, part on another.
Yeah, you can think of it visually like that. They're managing multiple things at once.
Yeah.
Like, some kids might be on laptops, some in small groups, some getting one-on-one with the teacher, all happening at the same time.
All right, so the metaphor makes sense. But how does this actually work in practice?
Let's look at fourth grade math now. This is Kim T. And she used a model she calls Relearn Review Reveal for a test review on area and perimeter.
I love that. Relearn Review Reveal. It's so clear I could almost use that for, like, anything.
Right. It's a great framework. So she pre-assessed to see who needed to go back to the basics,
mm-hmm.
who was ready for just a review, who could handle a challenge.
Okay, so again, grouping based on data, not just gut feeling. But what did those different experiences actually look like in her classroom?
So Relearn Group got direct instruction from her, going back over the main ideas. Review Group, they worked independently on practice problems, just solidifying what they knew. But here's the cool part.
The reveal. Hit me with it.
The Reveal Group got the same practice sheet, but Techie Kim changed all the numbers to decimals.
Oh, sneaky. So they're practicing the same skill, but with an extra layer of complexity. I bet they felt pretty proud of themselves figuring those out.
Exactly. It's a little tweak that makes a big difference. But before we go to more examples, there's something Kim does that's really smart. She always has anchor activities ready to go.
Anchor activities. Refresh my memory. What are those again?
Basically, stuff kids can do independently once they finish their main work. Hmm. Keeps them learning, prevents downtime.
Right, right. So Kim had these posted somewhere so kids knew what to do if they finished early.
Exactly. It's all about planning ahead and having those systems in place so there's no confusion, no one's just sitting around.
Yeah. The transitions have to be smooth, especially when you've got multiple things happening at once.
Absolutely.
How does this work with older students?
All right. Let's go to eighth grade science with Teresa M. She was teaching about exponential functions and used a strategy called purposeful partnering.
Purposeful partnering. Okay, now I'm intrigued.
It's not just random pairing. She used an exit ticket to check understanding, then paired kids strategically. Some pairs, similar skill level so they could work smoothly together. Others, intentionally different, so there was some built-in peer tutoring happening.
Oh, that's smart. Using the partnerships themselves to support learning. What were they actually doing during this split screen lesson?
Well, Teresa was working directly with a small group who needed extra help on the concept, while everyone else was on their computers working in their pairs on a simulation called a gizmo.
Ooh, virtual labs. Definitely beats just reading about it in a textbook. But how did Teresa keep track of everything? One group with her, others on computers. Sounds like a lot to juggle.
Proactive management is key. She had a power slide up front with the essential question, learning goals, the agenda for the lesson, and really important expectations for both groups.
Okay, so everyone knows what's happening, when, and why. Makes sense.
Right. She also used a timer for transitions, so kids knew when to switch gears. And a simple attention getter, like clapping a rhythm, to bring everyone back together when needed.
So those little routines and procedures help a lot, even with older kids.
Absolutely. They need that structure, too. And even though the other kids were working independently, Teresa made sure to check in with each pair regularly.
So it's not like they're just off on their own doing whatever. There's still that accountability.
Definitely. All right, ready to tackle some high school social studies?
Hit me with it. History can be such a fascinating subject, but I bet split screen can really help with things like, I don't know, DDQs. Those document-based questions can be brutal.
You're reading my mind. That's exactly what Nick T., a ninth grade history teacher, used split screen for, helping his students get better at writing those DBQs.
Okay, so how did he do it? Did he just divide them into good writers and not so good writers?
Not exactly. He gave them a DBQ to try, then observed how they tackled it. Based on that, he identified a small group who needed more direct instruction.
So he's watching them work, not just going off the grid. I like that. What did those groups look like in action?
So Nick worked with the small group, teaching them how to analyze documents and craft arguments. Meanwhile, the rest of the class was working on a Padlet activity.
Padlet. I've heard of that, but never really used it. What's the big deal about Padlet?
It's like an online bulletin board where kids can post ideas, ask questions, collaborate. Great for peer-to-peer learning.
Ah, so even though they were working independently, they still had that social aspect. Cool. What was happening in Nick's little DBQ boot camp?
He was basically modeling how to do it, showing them how to find evidence in the documents connected to their argument, all that.
So, targeted support for those who needed it most. Why not just teach all that to the whole class, though? Why bother with the split?
Good question. Nick said a lot of his students already have those DBQ skills. Having them sit through a whole class review would have been boring and a waste of their time.
Makes sense. So it's about honoring everyone's time, making sure everyone's challenged at the right level.
Exactly. I'm starting to see the potential of this strategy.
Me too. But before we jump into trying this out ourselves, I think we need to talk about some of the challenges, right? It can't all be sunshine and rainbows.
You're absolutely right. It's important to be realistic about the potential hurdles. One thing we heard from some teachers is the challenge of keeping everyone on task, especially when you've got groups working independently.
Yeah, I can see that being tough. It's like you need eyes in the back of your head. Any tips for managing that chaos?
Well, we saw some great strategies in these examples. Clear expectations, routines, visual signals like those colored cups, having anchor activities ready to go, and constantly circulating to check in with all the groups.
It's all about being proactive, not just reacting when things go wrong.
Exactly. And another challenge is making sure those groups are appropriately challenging and supported. Remember, it's not just about high, middle, low groups. It's about using that assessment data to personalize the experience.
Right. You don't want the advanced kids getting bored, but you also don't want the struggling learners feeling lost and overwhelmed.
Exactly. It's about finding that sweet spot for each student, which takes planning and a deep understanding of your learners.
So flexibility is key. You might have a plan, but you need to be ready to adjust on the fly.
Absolutely. Split-screen teaching is a dynamic process. You might realize a group needs more support, or maybe they're ready for a bigger challenge. You have to be responsive.
It's like being a learning DJ, remixing the lesson in real time.
Love that analogy. It really captures the spirit of split-screen teaching.
Okay, so we've talked about keeping kids on task, making sure it's appropriately challenging, and being flexible. What other advice would you give to teachers who are new to split-screen teaching?
Don't be afraid to start small. You don't have to do a full-blown split-screen lesson right away.
So maybe just start with some differentiated elements within a regular lesson.
Exactly. Try some quick checks, offer different practice options, maybe group kids for just a portion of the lesson. Build up your comfort level and your students' familiarity with it.
It's like dipping your toes in the split-screen pool before diving headfirst.
Exactly. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Okay, so we've seen split-screen used in so many ways: direct instruction, small group work, independent practice, even peer teaching. Is there anything it can't do?
Well, it's not a magic solution for every lesson or every student. It takes planning and skill to make it work, and it's not always the best approach.
True, true. You've got to choose the right tool for the job. But I have to say, after hearing all these examples, I'm pretty impressed with how versatile split-screen teaching is.
Me too. It's a powerful strategy when used well. So let's break it down. What are some of the common threads we're seeing across these successful split-screen lessons?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me is the use of assessments. Like almost every teacher we talked about used some kind of pre-assessment to figure out where their students were before even starting the split-screen part.
Right. Whether it's a formal quiz, a quick exit ticket, or even just observing students during a previous lesson, that data is key for grouping effectively.
It's like you need that map of the learning landscape before you can chart those individual pathways.
Exactly. Without that data, you're just guessing. You might end up with groups that are totally mismatched in terms of their needs, and then nobody's happy.
Nobody's learning, that's for sure. Okay, so assessment is crucial. What else can we learn from these split-screen superstars?
Clear expectations and procedures. This came up again and again. Students need to know exactly what's expected of them in each group, how to get help, what to do if they finish early, all of that.
It's like setting the stage for success right from the get-go.
Okay.
Right. Less confusion, fewer interruptions, smoother transitions.
Absolutely. And remember those TLS resources we mentioned earlier?
Yeah.
They've got tons of ideas for setting those expectations and procedures, even sample anchor charts and stuff you can use.
Awesome. So we've got assessment, clear expectations. What else?
Proactive management.
Right. Those little systems make a big difference. It's not just about reacting when things go wrong. It's about anticipating potential problems and having a plan.
Exactly. And one more thing. Always, always have those anchor activities ready to go. For fast finishers, for when one group needs a little more time, whatever.
It's like having a safety net, right? Just in case.
Best split screen teachers are the ones who are constantly reflecting, tweaking, trying new things. It's an ongoing process.
Always learning and growing, just like our students. All right, before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to bring it back to our listener. Remember at the beginning, you wanted to understand how split screen works, see its potential, get some inspiration.
And I think we've delivered.
I think so too. We went deep, explored tons of different classrooms, even talked about the big picture impact on student learning. It's been quite a ride.
Definitely. So to our listeners out there, if you're feeling inspired and ready to give split screen teaching a try, what's the best advice we can give you?
Start small. Don't feel like you have to do everything at once. Experiment, try different things, find what works for you and your students.
Exactly. There's no one right way to do split screen.